Welcome to the Adoption and Foster Care Journey, a podcast to encourage, educate, and equip you to care for children and youth through adoption, foster, and kinship care. Hosted by an adoptive mom with over 22 years of kinship and adoptive parenting experience, she's on this journey with you. Please welcome Sandra Flack.
For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. I'm Sandra Flack. Welcome to this episode of the Adoption and Foster Care Journey. I hope today you find strength in the Holy Spirit, and I hope you will find encouragement through this podcast. I'm excited to share my conversation with you today with another adoptive mom. She's also an FASD advocate, but before we get to that conversation, I hope you will check out this resource that I have for you.
Natalie Vecchione of the FASD Hope Podcast and Sandra Flack of the Adoption and Foster Care Journey Podcast would like to invite you to join their Hope for the FASD Journey, a virtual support community for parents and caregivers raising individuals with an FASD, diagnosed or not. This faith-based community includes an online bi-monthly support group, a monthly VIP conversation, and a private Facebook group which includes a video devotional from Natalie and Sandra every Saturday. To register, visit justicefororphansny.org/training/FASD.
While this podcast is not specifically FASD focused, and if you don't know, FASD stands for fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. It is a spectrum of disorders that affects really a majority of children in adoptive, foster, and even kinship placements. As a mom of two adopted sons who are now 18 and one is 20, I cannot believe that. They were adopted internationally and both diagnosed when they were much younger with fetal alcohol syndrome. And at the time, we had no resources way back in those days when our boys were diagnosed. And we lacked, especially when, as time went on, they became teenagers and things got extra hard, let's put it that way, which is very common if you're parenting a kiddo who was prenatally exposed, and most likely you don't even know that they were prenatally exposed, or maybe you were told about drug exposure, or you don't have any idea whatsoever. But even once you've gotten maybe attachment and connection and things like that, but things still are very difficult, it's very likely that you could be dealing with a kiddo who was prenatally exposed. And it's very, very common. And until you understand it and know about it, we really struggle. So we offer resources here that I wish I had when we were first starting out. So we have our support community that you just heard about. I also offer one-on-one coaching with for parents and caregivers on FASD, as well as in-person and online workshops, which, speaking of, coming up on March 20th, which is a Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern time, I am offering a free lunch and learn, I call it. It's an introduction to FASD. It's 60 minutes of presentation where I go through some slides and really talk about what FASD is, how it affects our kiddos, what are the primary, secondary, tertiary symptoms, and what are some things parents and caregivers can do to help support our kids and decrease some of those really difficult behaviors that we find ourselves dealing with throughout the day. So that's a great beginning spot, whether you know you as a parent or caregiver want to take that workshop, or maybe other people in your kiddos' lives you think would benefit, such as the babysitter or the grandparents or the next door neighbor, or the Sunday school teacher, or the youth group leader, or whoever is working with your kids, school teacher, bus driver, anybody, they would benefit from having that understanding about FASD as well. Our kids' brains work differently, and we need to have an understanding of that. So that is a great way to get some training for anybody working with your kiddo. It's 60 minutes. We do a Q&A at the end, so I stay on for a little extra time there, and it's free. So check that out. There is a link in the show notes to our website where you can register, but it is our website, justicefororphansny.org. You would click on the training tab at the top of the homepage, and you'll see in the drop-down box FASD. And when you click there, it will take you to our support group, workshops, training. And there's also another tab at the top of the page that's just for training, so you can get the most current schedule of online and in-person trainings available. And I'm going to be in person doing some training in North Carolina. I'm getting to lead an FASD workshop at the Renew Retreat. This is for adoptive and foster parents. It is April 18th through the 20th in Swansboro, North Carolina, near the ocean. I'm so excited. This amazing retreat for adoptive and foster parents, organized by our renowned adoptive mom, Jody Tucker. If any of you are familiar with Orphan Sunday, which was an initiative of Christian Alliance for Orphans for many, many years, I got to know Jody because I was on the leadership team for Orphan Sunday there. And she was the head of Orphan Sunday for many, many years. And now she leads Second Mothers. She's written a Bible study, which I highly recommend for Second Mothers. And she really travels the world speaking and speaking to and encouraging adoptive and foster moms. And this treat is not just for moms. It is for both parents. I was there last year, and there are many, many couples attend. So it is such a wonderful time. If you need to be ministered to, loved on, and feel supported on this very difficult parenting journey, this retreat is a wonderful place to go to get that. I'm going to be there. Like I said, I'm in there. I'm going to be there in person speaking and doing a workshop on FASD. But if you're interested, whether you're in North Carolina or you're coming, can get there from somewhere else, you can learn more at renewretreat.org. And there is a link in the show notes if you want to learn more about that. Also, because I believe that this podcast is an important resource for foster and adoptive parents. We want more caregivers to be able to find it. And when you subscribe or follow this podcast and you leave a review, it makes it so that it kind of comes to the top of the list when someone is searching for a podcast about adoption or foster care. So please, please go ahead and do that. Also, if you don't know already, we are on YouTube. So every one of these podcasts, there is a video version of. So if you want to watch a podcast as opposed to just listen, you can go to our YouTube channel. Justice for Orphans has a YouTube channel, and you can find us on there as well. So enough about all of that, because there's links in the show notes. You can find it all on our website. I want to introduce you to our guest today, Laura Bedard. Laura is part of the FASD United Family Navigator team. She has a background in fine art and graphic design and holds a master's degree in fine art and has taught at local colleges. But her personal journey with FASD began in 2013 when she and her husband adopted an infant son. And at 18 months old, he was diagnosed with autism, and then shortly after, an FASD. She became immersed in FASD over the last 8 years and is committed to learning as much as possible. Laura is the co-author and illustrator of 2 children's books focusing on adoption and FASD. My Adoption Feelings is the one book, and the other, My FASD Feelings. She is constantly advocating for kids and adults with FASD and plans to continue to do so in the future. She lives in Massachusetts with her husband and 2 children. So please welcome our guest today, Laura Bedard. Hi, Laura.
Hi, how are you?
I am so excited. I got to recently interview a colleague of yours, Kristen Erickson. And I know we've been on different webinars and Zoom calls and things with the FASD United. But it's fun to finally get to one-on-one meet you in person. And well, I guess it's not in person, it's virtually, but then let our listeners have a peek into our conversation and hear and learn more about you and Family Navigators and your book and all the things. So I'm so excited to have you.
No, thank you for having me.
But I would love for everybody to kind of get to know your story because I don't know all of your story either. So if we could maybe start at the beginning and find out like what led you and your husband to pursue adoption, because you have one adopted child, right? Your son?
Yes, so we have our son is adopted, and we have a biological daughter who is 2 years older. So we decided when she was around 2.5, we would adopt. So we went, to our adoption agency, took classes, got familiar with that, and did the home study. And we were told because we had a biological daughter, it would take a long time to be matched. So they were telling us it was going to take a few years because, a lot of birth moms don't want to place a child in a home where you have a biological child. So we said, okay. We were kind of waiting for that. And then 6 weeks later, we got a phone call, and a birth mom had chosen us to, she was pregnant. She was about to have a baby and wanted us to be his parents. So
Wow.
it was very quick. We were not expecting it at all. So I had to sit down when I got the phone call. But we, jumped on a plane immediately with our 2.5-year-old, and we flew across the country and became parents in like 24 hours. So
Wow.
it was really exciting and scary. And we had all these feelings, emotions, meeting his birth mom, meeting him, everything. So that was
Wow.
a lot to process, and it was very exciting, of course. So I didn't know really anything about FASD. He was in the NICU for about 2.5 weeks with breathing, feeding issues. He was premature, all those things. And we waited, for him to be released, and we were able to bring him back home. And we kind of, started to see delays pretty early on. There were some red flags, and luckily his pediatrician at the time had children in foster care and was FASD aware,
Wow.
So, when he was around 15 months, he wasn't talking, and we were seeing, some other things. And he said, you need to get evaluated. There's something here. So we were sent to Boston Children's Hospital, and he was evaluated. At the time, Boston Children's Hospital didn't, they gave us an autism diagnosis. They said he has autism, but there was something else, but they didn't know what it was. So we continued, and we were like, yeah, what is this other piece? And at age 4, we got the diagnosis for an FASD, and that was kind of that puzzle piece that we were looking for.
Yeah. Where were you able to get that diagnosis? Because I know that's so hard for families to be able to even to get a diagnosis.
It was hard. And it was now, you think about it, and Children's Hospital didn't even recognize it. But we went to a children's hospital in Rhode Island, which is closer here to us, and it was recommended by a psychiatrist at that time. So that's where
Wow.
we ended up. And she immediately picked up on that. So
That's incredible because you would think Boston Children's would know right away. I mean, I guess you would think, but those of us on this journey and have been in it any length of time understand that it's not likely that they would. You would just wish they would or think that they might. But that's great. So he was 4 when he got the diagnosis. What kind of symptoms were you seeing at that time?
We saw big time sensory issues early on, like at like one. I was seeing things that I, you know, having a child that was already older and we had been through these things. At 1 year old, he had, you know, those baby decals that are on your walls. And around one, I took them off to put some dinosaurs up and he cried for 3 nights, just screamed. And I wow. said, I couldn't figure out why he was doing that. And I said, is that because I changed the pictures? I changed the decals on his walls. And that's kind of was the first thing. Then we started seeing aggression early on, big time aggression. And that was like, this is not terrible twos. This is another level of, you know, so that was another indicator. And then we did get that diagnosis. And I'll tell you, when we got it, it was like, all right, we got it. This is the puzzle piece. Let's go get that magical therapy and medication. And here we are.
Fix it. Yeah.
Right. Right. Exactly. And it was like, okay, so here it is. But then we were just, okay, there, what do we do now? So then it's the search of where do we go for help? What kind of provide, you know, who understands FASD? That's where we were. You know, with that. But to continue on this, our journey, when he was around six, the aggression got really out of control. And I was at a point where I couldn't, this was beyond anything I could handle or my husband could handle. And we had to reach out for some help. And I was in contact at that point with our local FASD United, you know, affiliate in Massachusetts, which is MassFAS. And Enid Watson was running it at that time. And I reached out to her and, you know, met her, had some great conversations. And she introduced me to Kristen Erickson. And Kristen Erickson was the first parent I met who had a child with an FASD. And we just, our first conversation, I forget how long it was, maybe an hour or two. We just talked about our kids. And it was like, so, you know, after that, we had talked to Enid about starting a support group because there was no support group in Massachusetts. And I had been doing, you know, after I had spoke to Kristen, I kind of got in with Proof Alliance to get into a support group and was doing a virtual support group with them. And we talked to Enid about setting up one here. And we set up a support group and just started connecting all of these caregivers and parents in Massachusetts. And that's been awesome. So that's been going for, I want to say like three and a half years.
It's so important for us as parents and caregivers to have that support network, because nobody else gets it unless you're on this journey. And so we need one another, because we need to encourage one another and lift each other's, you know, weary arms up, because it can be so discouraging and so hard. And like I said, nobody else on this, unless you're on this journey, really understands what it's like. So and we need to have a support system, and we can't do this alone. So I'm so glad that you started, that you guys were able to start a support group, and love what, I'm in New York, so love what you guys are doing, you know, in Massachusetts, because we're like next door neighbors, which is fun. So along the way, how did you, and I heard you said you plugged into Proof Alliance, which is a great place to get resources as well. How did you begin to educate yourself about FASD? Because it's hard to get a diagnosis, then there's no support out there. And then like we, as the parents, have to kind of become the experts on this as we're advocating for our kids. So how did you learn about FASD?
I just dove into it when we got the diagnosis, and we started having providers in the home that had never heard about it. And they didn't know really how to work with him. You know, we had behavioral therapists in the home that didn't understand it and didn't understand why he wasn't getting things. You know, we had psychiatrists, well, why isn't the medication working? You know, there was a lot of those. So it was like, we had no choice but to become educated. I mean, really just, FASD, becoming, you're living with it, you need to educate yourself on it. Mm-hmm. And then being involved in the support groups, and meeting all these other, you know, have you listened to this podcast? Have you read this? And have you talked to this person? You really just get into it. And, you know, that's kind of how really we got into it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How old is your son now and how's he doing?
He's 10 right now. We had a really tough year last year with him, to be honest. And we had to take him out of the public schools. We had gone through a lot with, you know, advocates, things like that. So he does have an autism diagnosis. He has an FASD, and I ended up taking him out after him being hospitalized and inpatient many times last year. We put him in a, he's in an ABA center, which is very close to the house, and he gets one-on-one with his therapist. They come to the home and they do care. What is it? The life skills. They do all sorts of in-home with him here. Take, you know, still at 10, how do we shower? How do we brush our teeth? Mm-hmm. Those kind of things. And they're working with him there. And he has progressed so much in the last year. And he's doing so much better with his school there. He can write his name. He's doing some math. So we're really going from last year was not able to write his own name to being able to write, to being able to do some math, to reading.
Wow. Yeah.
So with those supports in place, he's become, we're seeing huge improvements.
Yeah. So for our listeners who might not know, what is the ABA center?
So the ABA is, I don't know how to explain this, but this is for autism. So where he does have an autism diagnosis, the this is all paid for by insurance companies. He's doing, is it applied behavioral analysis is what it is called, what they're doing with him. Because ABA doesn't always work with our kiddos with FASD, okay? But what they're doing with him is a different approach to ABA, and it's a newer approach to ABA, which is how the school has switched over, which is more of this care, compassionate way of speaking and working with him. So typically, if I don't want to do my homework, I'm going to break my pencil, I'm going to throw everything on the floor, I'm not doing it, typically it would be, well, you're going to sit there. And then when you're ready to do it, you're going to
consequences.
Do it. Yeah. Right. Those don't work, which we know. So that doesn't work. But what it is they're going about it in a different way. You know what? Yeah, that is a lot of work. That is a lot of work. You know what? Let's just sit here and give it a minute, and maybe we can do something else. And he's responding so well. And it's like, oh, she agreed with me. Yeah, we'll try that. So they're doing a little bit different approach with him. And we're not seeing the big time aggression working with him in that way.
Yeah. So is that a program where does he still live home and goes to the program, or he's kind of in both places?
Yeah. So he goes there, they get him, you know, at 8 a.m. and he stays all day, and then he does an after school social program until the evening.
Wow.
Because we need that.
Yeah.
I can't, it's just too much. He is a lot. He's 10 years old. He's 110 pounds. And when he is in, you know, being dysregulated, it is tough physically to manage, and we're getting a lot of support. So when he is home, he does some days early, and they come home with him and they work with him here in the home. So there is a lot of support, and somebody's always kind of with him. Yeah.
And the structure, I have to assume, really helps, because I think our kiddos thrive better. Mm-hmm. They thrive when there is that structure and routine and they're well supported.
Correct. Yes. He needs what are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my son is like that too.
Yeah. The weekends are tough, right? Because it's like the weekends are always those, you know, what are we doing? So even that you have to keep, very structured.
Structure. Yeah, for sure. If not, nobody's going to make it through, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm thrilled to hear that you've got a resource that is supporting your son and your family and working really well, which kind of makes me think of family navigators. And I had interviewed recently, had a great conversation with Kristen Erickson, but I would love to get your perspective on family navigators for anybody who maybe even missed that episode with Kristen. It's the Family Navigator is a program, I guess I would say, of FASD United. And it provides people with FASD and their families with connections to resources and support. So tell us about Family Navigator.
Yeah, so it is. It's part of FASD United, and caregivers, parents, professionals, self-advocates, pregnant people, anybody can contact Family Navigator. There's a form to fill out online, or you can call the phone number and you can talk to somebody who has experience with FASD. And a lot of people are looking for local resources. You know, where can I get a diagnosis? To, I need a support group. things are tough here. To self-advocates who just want to talk and have questions. If caregivers even are just at a point, like, I just want to talk to somebody, they can reach out to Family Navigator and they can talk to people that get it and understand. So that's why we're there. Anything, professionals, anybody that needs anything, we're there.
Yeah. And I have heard from people who are like, a real person called me back right away. They have all of the information, they understand it. So to be able to reach out and actually talk to somebody who understands FASD is huge and can be life-changing. And anybody from anywhere in the country can call, right? Because they have resources by state even.
Right. So anybody in the country can call. We have all of the, we have resources that are vetted constantly in every state. So if somebody's looking for something in, anywhere, we can find it, and we do have a lot of resources available to us. And, we can always reach out and contact people if anybody needs anything too. So, and we make sure everyone is connected with their local affiliate, mm-hmm. things like that. So,
Yeah. My organization, JFO, is an affiliate here in New York. And we've got great resources, at least out in the Rochester area with Dr. Petrenko at the University of Rochester. And then I think there's a doctor or two in New York City. One of my big, hairy, audacious goals is that one day there would be an FASD diagnostic clinic in Albany, the capital, because it's really hard for families to get diagnosed anywhere around here. And there's a long waiting list to go to Rochester, and it's so far from the capital region. And there's such a lack. It's like a desert of, a wasteland of lack for families dealing with FASD. So, but I love the fact that anybody anywhere can go to FASD United. At the mm-hmm. homepage, there's the button for Family Navigator. There's a form you can fill out. Somebody gets back to you pretty much right away, and you can have access to resources and supports, whatever state you're in. And I know in our podcast, we have listeners from all over the country and from other countries. So it's nice to know that, wherever your state is, you can find some resources based on where you are.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And if you just need someone to talk to that gets it, we're here too. So
so important. So important. So we'll put a link in the show notes for everybody to be able to get to Family Navigator for sure. But I also want to talk to you about your children's book, because you have a children's book that you co-authored and illustrated called My FASD Feelings, A Guide to Children's Experience with FASD. So tell us about that.
My sister and I wrote two books, actually. She's a psychologist here and practices in Massachusetts. And so in 2016, we wrote My Adoption Feelings, which is about this little boy named Henry who is adopted. And this book really focuses on really young kids we're starting to have some big feelings and about being adopted. Sometimes we're sad, sometimes we're happy about it. And what do these feelings mean? So that's what that book is about. And we wrote my FASD feelings last year, which is about Henry, who has grown a little bit and he's a little bit older and he has an FASD. So it's about his feelings when he finds out I have an FASD. Things are not great in school. His parents talk to him about what an FASD is. And we try to keep it, you know, very age appropriate. How to explain? And this book was written to get that conversation going. You know, how to, what had happened was at this time, my son was having, well, why can't I do this? Why can't I do that at school? Why am I different than the other kids? And he was starting to have these questions. And we did explain to him what it was, you know, kept it very age appropriate. And that's where the book, you know, the idea for the book came from.
Wow. I love that. And you can hold it up. You can hold up your books because we do have, we will be putting this up on YouTube. Love it. Aw, I love Henry. So cute. So cute with his doggie. So where can our listeners find the book?
You can find it on Amazon. It's on Walmart online, Barnes and Noble's online. It's everywhere online for anywhere that sells books. Yep.
That is great. And it's geared for a parent to read to the child. What age group? You might have said that and I didn't catch it.
It's for younger. I mean, everybody's a little bit, you know, different, but it is, I would say around that 8 years old, depending on where your kiddo is. But it just really gets the conversation going of, I'm having a lot of these feelings in school and I don't like these feelings. And why do I feel this way? And, you know, mom and dad explain what's been going on. They talk about FASD. They talk about his tummy mommy, which is what we call his birth mom. And, you know, and we keep it open like that. And there's, you know, that's
where it is. I love that. Yeah. What sometimes people ask me this question, and it's the answer I think really does vary, but when should parents begin talking to their kiddos if they know that there's an FASD? Because it can be hard to get a diagnosis, and we may know that we know that we know and still not have a diagnosis. But when is a good time to present that information to our kids and talk to them about it?
I think it's just different for every kiddo, honestly, and every situation is different. For us, my son knows from day one that he was adopted. We were very open about that and trying to keep that conversation. You know, sometimes we talk about it and he doesn't want to talk about it. And sometimes he does. And I'll say, you look like your tummy mommy, you know, she was really pretty. And I try to keep, you know, so he does know that. But like I said, for him, he was asking questions. Why, you know, why can't I understand that? You know, why can't I go, you know, with the other kids, or why is this happening to me? And for him, it was better to explain because it wasn't like, oh, this, it became, okay, this is what I have. I'm not, you know, I'm not stupid, or I'm not this, or I'm not.
There's a reason for it.
Yeah. Cause he was beating himself up over it. And we said, no, this is why. But it also gave you we call him the superpowers because he's really good at building Legos. And we're like, you might have this, but look at, you can build Legos like nobody else we know. Like, so we try to really focus on those positives and finding the things he's really good at.
Yeah. Yeah. We just had that conversation. Like my youngest is 18 and he's known for quite some time. Right. And so he understands that, but I just had a similar conversation about those strengths with his teacher today, because there was an issue because my son doesn't do, he's in school, but he does not do well in the cafeteria without support, right? He can't navigate that social setting without support. There really isn't a one-on-one aid or anybody available for him. Hence the phone call home, because he has a tendency when he's dysregulated, it comes out not with aggression, but with, like, you know, saying inappropriate things.
Yeah.
He just loses the capacity to, and not that he has that on a good day, because it's totally executive function, right? But to be able to use, you know, to have to control those impulses and not just let any thought that's in your head come out your mouth. Like, there's no filter.
I know.
You know, so you get that phone call home from the, school for the teacher. So we're sort of, she's really good. He's in a special classroom, and just having that conversation and trying to talk through, okay, we know now why this happened. And he's supposed to actually be going to the guidance office with some other students to have lunch in a smaller group. But we're trying to figure out what, like, all of a sudden last week he decided he was going to take himself to the cafeteria and eat lunch in there for a few days, which is where he got in trouble. So we're trying to figure that out. But then she said, well, you know, though, I have to tell you, on a positive note, we were playing board games in class. And she said his math skills with, like, Yahtzee and other board games are like nobody's business. She's like, he can do mental math. And I'm like, yeah, we play Yahtzee all the time at home. Yeah. And he can add those dice, and he can make good decisions on, you know, like Yahtzee skill decisions. Like, he shines with board games, and like, he'll kill you in Monopoly. Like, and he can make change, and he gets the whole, it's like crazy how, you know, those skills are off the charts, but yet, you know, he can't navigate a cafeteria in the high school and be appropriate. So that's FASD, right? That's how it works.
Yeah, exactly. We kind of sneak in. My son hates reading. We try to sneak it in, and we got this game. It's called What Do You Meme? It's the family edition, and you have to read the little cards. And he's actually like, he's struggling. He's reading. And it was like, and he's playing it. And it's like, we sneak those little things in there. But yeah,
when they don't know that they're reading, because I know our in my car, you know, the radio, you have a newer vehicle, so the radio, it'll tell you the name of the song that's playing, and he'll like read the name of the song, and he'll be like, I read that. And I'm like, you did, good job.
Yeah.
I can't get him to read a book, but he can read the radio.
Yeah.
But it's a skill, right? He's practicing it. So it's so good. So yeah, when you're a parent and you're on this journey, you totally get it. And we need one another. So Laura, most of our listeners are adoptive and foster parents, kinship caregivers. Many of us know we are parenting kiddos with FASD. Some might suspect, some may be newer and have no idea what it even is, but this might be like, oh my gosh, I think this is going on. But regardless of what we all know as parents, we all need encouragement for this journey. So as we wrap up, would you leave some words of encouragement for us to, you know, just for our parents on this journey, give us some words of encouragement?
I want to say, first of all, you're doing an awesome job. And the fact that you're listening, you know, shows that you're looking for more information. I think that's awesome. And I just want to say, support groups are, I think, the best. And I think they're going to offer a lot of help if you're thinking about it. Being able to connect with other parents and caregivers, and it's like nothing else. And that's going to be your biggest support. So, you know, whatever state you're in, if you need, you reach out to your affiliate, find those support groups and meet other parents, other caregivers that get it, because there's a whole group of people waiting to support you. And I think everybody should know that. And if you need help, you can reach out, you know, to the navigators, and we can help connect you. But that was the best thing for me, was meeting other adoptive parents that were going through this. And you just connect instantly with them. You can tell these stories that you can't tell other people, who would go, oh my gosh, you know, you can tell these people, and they're like, oh yeah, we've been through that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
A whole bunch of times. I can tell you, you know, my son squirted a whole tube of toothpaste in the toilet the other day because he wanted to see what it would look like. And it's like, yeah, of course. Right.
It's kind of normal around here, right?
Yeah. It's like, that's, you know, but he just wanted to see what it looked like. But other people, you know, you get it. And I say there's so many people out there waiting to support you. So
yeah, for sure. Don't go it alone.
Right.
Find your support network for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we will make sure. Yeah. We will make sure that we put links to FASD Navigator or the FASD United Family Navigator and to your book so that folks can find your book. So we want to make sure that they can do that. Both of your books, one on adoption, one on FASD specifically, they're children's books. So excited about those. Laura, thank you so much for all that you are doing to support families with your book and with Navigators. And thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It was nice to meet you.
Same here. And thank you for listening to this episode of the Adoption and Foster Care Journey podcast. I hope you were encouraged today and informed about FASD through my conversation with Laura Bedard. We will include links to her book and to FASD United's Family Navigator, which is a wonderful way to find resources in your state and area on FASD, because I know some stuff going on in New York and can sort of help you with other states, but wherever you are, if you are, you know, in another state, not where I am, and you're looking for a place to get a diagnosis or resources and supports, or just want to talk to a parent in your region, definitely reach out to them. We are a member of the FASD United. We're an affiliate. So definitely endorse and encourage you to reach out to FASD United and all of the resources and supports that they have there, especially Family Navigator. In addition to encouraging you, we like to equip you for your parenting journey as well. And Laura mentioned it, you know, get connected to a support group. If you are on this parenting journey, whether your kiddos are diagnosed or not, if any of this resonated with you, you need support. Even if you don't, even if you know your kids do not have an FASD and you're an adoptive or foster parent, you need a support network of fellow foster and adoptive parents. And they are out there. So make sure you're connecting and finding your community. If you suspect or know of prenatal or drug exposure, then you may very well be interested in our support group, Hope for the FASD Journey. As far as I know, it is the only faith-based FASD online support group in the world. If we're not, somebody can let me know. But as far as I know, we're the only ones. So we really hope that you will reach out and connect with us and become part of that group, because we are here to support one another, encourage one another, pray for one another. It's a fabulous group, and I would not want to be without our support group. So I'm so excited. Lots of other resources, my blog, sandraflack.com. I blog there, a link to the Cornerstone article with the video modules that I did with Focus on the Family are also there. Again, we have workshops and parent coaching. Check it all out, justicefororphansny.org. All the links are in the show notes. And again, if you enjoyed or were encouraged by this podcast, please leave a review, follow it, rate it, all of the things, subscribe to it. That helps other parents and caregivers be able to find it more easily. So think of them and leave a review. We greatly appreciate that. Also, find us on social media. We are on Justice for Orphans is on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Justice for Orphans, as well as me, Sandra Flack. I am on all those platforms as well. Would love to connect with you. Would love to hear from you. So if you are that dedicated that you came all the way to the end of this podcast and you're still listening, send me an email, share your story. Let me know if you were encouraged or you feel supported by this podcast. I would love to hear from you. And make sure you come back and listen next week, because we have our dear friend, Dr. Jared Brown, back for another educational and informative podcast. So we'll see you then. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Adoption and Foster Care Journey podcast, brought to you by Justice for Orphans. We hope you were encouraged today. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave a review and share it with your fellow foster and adoptive parent friends so they can be encouraged too. Be sure to find and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Justice for Orphans. And check out our website for vital resources at justicefororphansny.org.